at times. Now you say, preacher, why do you say that? Well, you know, life is an adventure. We just never know what's going to happen. We try to think what's going to happen. We try to make plans as to certain things that happen in our life. But we just never know. For instance, I received a very distressing phone call this afternoon. And when I answered the phone, you don't pick up the receiver anymore. I answered the phone, an angry voice on the other end of the line says, I'm not coming to your church anymore. Said, don't ever look for me. I'm not going to be there. I have no desire to ever attend your church again. Said, just a bunch of hypocrites down there. And no matter what I do, they don't appreciate anything I do. They don't appreciate me. They don't love me. They have no appreciation at all of anything I ever did. But I said, you've got to go. And your angry voice on the other end of the line said, give me one good reason. I said, Barry, you're the pastor. So you never know what you're going to hear when you pick up a telephone. I was afraid maybe most of you had heard that before, but that's pretty good little joke. Pretty good response. It is good to be saved, and life is an adventure. We're going into a new year. We don't know what's going to happen. We make plans. I mean, you know, I plan to get up and shave and brush my teeth and put on a suit of clothes and go to work, come home, watch Judge Judy. That's in my plans. You know, things like that. We make plans. We work. We know that if tomorrow comes, many will be getting up, going to work, coming home, things of this nature. But life is a tremendous adventure. But not only is life an adventure, serving Christ is an adventure. My goodness, I can look back over the year and reflect over the year some things that's happened to me in my life and in my ministry that I never dreamed of, never thought about. And a lot of people spend a lot of money going to fortune tellers and palm readers and stuff like that. That's all a trick. They spend a lot of money doing that because everybody wants to know. They read a lot of Revelation. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? These are things that we think about going into the new year. Now, the message I'm going to bring you tonight is just a little short message. I don't plan on preaching more than an hour. On not a material success or prosperity sermon, but something out of the Word of God. And I'm careful. I'm always careful when I preach a message like this. Is I'm not giving you a formula to success. I'm not giving you a formula. I've found out in life that there are some things that work for me and some things don't work for you. What works for me doesn't always work for you. What works for you doesn't always work for me. But one thing we can rest on in this coming year is the Word of God. I still believe the book. I don't care what the world believes. I don't care what they believe in college. I don't care what they believe in universities. I don't care what they believe on television. I still believe the book. Above all things, I believe what God has written to us in the book. Amen. So tonight I'm going to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is an interesting book. The New Testament Joshua is the book of Ephesians. Ephesians has to do with our spiritual journey. The book of Joshua has to do with a journey of the armies of Israel and the promises being fulfilled to Israel. It reads something like this in Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the Father to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou doest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So we have the first 9 verses of the book of Joshua. Now bear in mind, it's a continuation of the 5 books previous to that. The Torah, the books of the law, 5 books of Moses. But it speaks to a new generation. Speaks to a generation that the old generation had died away. And now a new generation was going into land of promise. And this new generation had not seen all that the old generation had seen. Preacher, I have to be careful. And the reason I have to be careful is because I like to talk about the good old days. Luke, that's what us old folks like to talk about, you see. And the reason is because I know more about the good old days than I know about the days coming. So I have to be careful. I can tell you of revival meetings. I can tell you the blessings of God. I was fortunate enough to be in an entire city that God dealt with. You couldn't go anywhere in that town and escape the presence of God. I mean, where I pastored, we were winning 4 to 5 families a week to Christ. I'm talking about mom, dad, the kids. Just a tremendous outpouring of the Spirit of God. Tremendous time in my life. And I saw it and I experienced it. I lived through it. I don't know if anybody's ever seen revival in this day in which I'm preaching in. But I've seen revival in churches. I've seen revival in people. And I like to talk about that. But that doesn't mean God's not working today. listen to me. If you guys aren't doing this, let me encourage you to read those missionary letters. Take some time. Read what they're saying. And we find out that God is moving all over this world. That souls are being saved. Prayers are being answered. A lot of good things are going on out there in the world. But I like to talk about the good old days. First message I ever preached, Andy, was 45 minutes. That's the first message I ever preached. And if you didn't preach an hour and a half in those days, the 2 hours, you weren't even considered a preacher. The way it was in those days. I mean, people, you know, they didn't have anything to do. Come to church, go home, time to see Bonanza. That sort of thing. But God moved in my generation. Now, do I believe God can move in this generation? Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind, because the same promises given me and my generation are the same promises that's given you guys and your generation. And if God can move in my generation, God can move in your generation. But a lot of things are going to happen. We don't know what's coming. But there are some promises in the Word of God that we can take into this next year, and that this younger generation can take into their generation as God has promised in His Word. Now this starts off. Moses is dead. My servant Moses has died. That's what he says here twice in these 9 verses. He's dead. Great leaders die. You know what makes a good leader? 2 things makes a good leader. One is a good leader has to learn to be a follower. If we're going to be leaders, and if God has that for us out here in the future, before we can be leaders, we have to learn to be followers. Joshua was a follower of God. Moses was a follower of God. And another thing that makes a good leader is that that leader has to be obedient to the Word of God. The leader isn't obedient, then the followers will not be obedient. Now, after the death of Moses, the Bible says, then he states, Moses, my servant, is dead. Do you notice he uses the word servant? What kind of man was Moses? We could go back and look at the life of Moses. Just tremendous guy. But basically, primarily in your scriptures, underline that word servant. He was a servant of the Lord. Great leaders die. I can name preacher after preacher, Brother Steve in my generation, that I wish I could preach like. I wish I had the scholarly approach that W.A. Criswell had. Tremendous scholar. I wish I had the linguistic knowledge that R.G. Lee had. I mean, he could paint you a picture with words, and you could just almost see the Word of God come alive. Hallelujah. His preaching. I wish I could preach like that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wish I could preach like Brother Rambo. I wish I could preach like Chick Young. I could name preacher after preacher after preacher. Some of these guys are gone. They'll never walk this way again. We'll never have the privilege of hearing them again. We'll never have the privilege of seeing them again. Great leaders die. We're all going to die. That day is coming. It's appointed unto man wants to die. James said, what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. Life is that way. And when we're gone, life is going to go on unless Jesus comes back. And what is the alternative to death? It's certainly got to be better than this, right? I know you young folks don't see that yet, but you will. The alternative is to be forever in the presence of Christ. I don't know of anything I'd rather be than in the presence of Christ. One of these days I'm going to die. One of these days your pastor's going to die. And one of these days you're going to die. It's coming. The day's appointed. You say, preacher, but I've got a long time. We don't have a long time. Life's very short. And the older you get, the shorter it becomes. I used to hear old folks talk about that. And I think, my goodness, the day just drags by. Just drags by. I'm never going to reach 16. I'm never going to reach 16. I want to be 14 the rest of my life. I'm never going to reach 16, but I'll reach 16. Then I reach 18, and then I reach 20, and right on down the line, and then it just got faster and faster and faster, and just life just kind of blurs by now. I go to bed, I wake up, it's already 2 weeks gone in one night. Sure seems that way. We're all going to die. Death knows no boundaries. I've buried babies, I've buried children, I've buried teenagers, I've buried middle-aged people, I've buried old people. We have the idea just because I'm young, I'm going to have time. Time goes by quickly. Moses is dead. But I'll tell you something about Moses. His influence lived on. Now, if my influence can live on. Just because he'd gone on to be with the Lord didn't mean that his influence ceased to be. We all leave some kind of an influence. A word, a life, a passage, something that our children can look back on and say, I had lunch the other day with, I'm just kind of rambling now, preacher, so I don't know if I get him preached or not. But we're going into a new year. Going into a new year. And I had lunch with an ex-brother-in-law, and I say ex, he's, my wife is dead, he's no longer my brother-in-law, but he's still a good friend of mine. He was the oldest of seven children in my wife's family. And I had lunch with him. We were at Old Charlie's, and I had a prime rib. Now, guys, that's living. Of all the excitement in the world, there's nothing better than sitting down to a good prime rib and eat. That's what I look forward to. Amen. Amen, preacher. That's exciting. I get excited about that. But he asked me a favor. He said, I want you to preach my funeral. He has Parkinson's disease. And he really looks bad. He's on his way home. And he said, I want you to preach my funeral. You see, when things like that hit home, you know, life's short. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses is dead. Influence will live on in the life of Joshua. But Moses won't be crossing over into the prayer land, into the promised land. Leaders come and leaders go. Now, every leader has a different leadership style. They're different. Moses was a statesman. God chose him to go into the courts of Pharaoh and to plead the cause of the children of Israel and their enslavement, that they might leave Egypt and go to the land that God promised them. God at that time in that generation needed a statesman. He was an ambassador. Joshua was a warrior. God needed a warrior in his generation. You know what I'm talking about. Every leadership style is different. Preacher. Old Brother Brown and I did, Brother Brown did it this way, you see. Our old brother Jack did it this way. And many spend a whole ministry hearing about what Brother Brown used to do, what Brother Jack used to do. But God has different call for different men for every generation. Moses is dead. Now God needs a warrior. So out of all of Israel, God chose Joshua. Wonderful call. First thing that we read in this is Joshua's call. Bo, I still believe in a calling. I know this. These folks in these new generations hear what they here's what they believe. That anybody can be a preacher. That anybody can do this or anybody can do that. And there's no call necessary. Well, to hear some of the preaching going on out there, you'll see, soon learn that there is no call in their life. But we read here in the Word of God of the call of Joshua. In verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore. Speaks of action. It speaks of need. It speaks of necessity. It speaks of now. We're going into a new year. Now. In that new year, there's going to be needs and necessities. And we've got to be listening closely to the call of God in your life and in my life in the year to come. It was a call to action. He said in verse 2, "Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan." Get up, Joshua. Get everything together. Strike the tents. It's time to go across Jordan. The time has come for you to take charge and for you to follow me. I wonder, Barry, who God's going to put his hand on in this year to come. You see, folks, there's more to life than just getting up in the morning, scrubbing old dead skin off. Yeah, more to life than that. More to life than going to work. More to life than just the mundane things that happens in a day's time. Who is God going to put his hand on? And out of this morass we call living, who's God going to touch and raise up in this generation a leader? Go out and preach the word. Go out and be obedient to the Father. To go out and serve him. Moses is dead. But life goes on. Life goes on. Whether we believe it or not, there's going to be a tomorrow. Maybe not for us, but for somebody. I may not see tomorrow. Luke here may not see tomorrow. We don't know that. But we know this, that when God chooses someone, it's always someone that's busy and active and serving. Who knows? I know this, that we're in 2020, right? That we made it through 2019. And we're going into a new year. We're already in a new year. And God's got his people picked out. He's got his David. He's got his Paul. He's got his Peter. He's got his Timotheus. Somebody that God's going to lay their hand on and call them into his service to follow him. Amen. What better thing is there than God's call? I mean, what better thing? Dee, what have you ever done in your life more exciting going out and telling people about Christ? It's exciting. It's exciting. What's better than that? Nothing. His call was a call to action. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He said, "I need a warrior. I need a fighter. I need someone that can stand up in battle when the bullets are flying." I told you about what I learned in boot camp, didn't I? In boot camp, I learned where to duck. Mullins, when the bullet's flying, you duck here. When the bullets are flying, you duck there. When they quit flying, get up and move. He needed a warrior. And out of all of Israel, he chose Joshua to carry them into a journey that they had never been before. And with this call was a promise. God never sends us into a journey without a promise. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said. He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Just get up, Joshua. Get up. I'm putting my hand on you to get up, arise, and go. Get busy. I believe God's calling us to get busy. Don't you? I believe going into this new year, we ought to be busy. Preaching the word, praying for revival, praying for God's leaders, and pray that God choose you to be a leader. Number two, something else we see here about Joshua that applies to going into a new year. By the way, they're going into a place they'd never been before. Number two, we see God's encouragement to Joshua. Now, I don't want to get too much into this, but look at verse 6. It says, be strong of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Be strong of good courage. Number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, he said. And then at verse 9, he said, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua, here's what's happening. You're going into something you've never been before. You're going through a time that you've never experienced before. And he said, in this time, I want you to be strong and I want you to be of good courage. Yeah. Now, the word strong has to do more than just physical strength. When I was young, I was physically strong. When I boxed, every time I went into a ring, and I never thought I'd lose. I thought I could whip anybody in that ring that I faced. I was a young man. Now somebody hit me in the belly, I'd fold up like a cheap accordion. Can't do that anymore. Don't have the physical strength anymore. I had a friend of mine said, Mullins, you ought to do this. I said, ought to do what? Said, you ought to enter that tough man contest. I said, they'd kill me. I was over 50 years old at the time. But you see, he's not talking about just physical strength here. He's talking about spiritual strength. Going into this new year, we better be strong. If we want to be successful and have good success in serving the Lord, we'd better be strong. And not only that, courageous. I like that word, courage. You know, to be courageous doesn't mean you're absent of fear. I've had a lot of fear in my life. But the word courageous means in spite of the fear, we get up and we move ahead. We go forward. I don't care what they say, I'm going to do this. I don't care how much they laugh at me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care how much they mock me and make fun of me, I'm going to serve God even to the point of death. Arise up, he said. Go, he said. And when you go, be strong and of good courage. Let's get in the ring. Let's put on the gloves. And let's get ready for this new year. And in this new year, be strong. Be of good courage. Number three. Now he gives not a formula, but we see God's promises of success is given. Verse 7 and 8, it says this. It says, only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever they go. Here's the promise to prosper. This book of law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, he said, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. First of all, he says, observe to do. You know, the Word of God is not just simply a book to be read. It's a book to be obeyed. I have Bible readings that I do every day. But what good is reading if you don't get anything out of it? Right? He said more than read. Observe to do. You want to know how to raise a family? Read the scriptures and observe to do. Better than anything Dr. Spock can say. And by the way, did you know that Dr. Spock in later life apologized for the stupid books that he wrote? Arise, go. Be strong and of good courage. And then he said, if you want to be prosperous and successful in serving God, observe to do. Service, family, whatever you're going to run into in this new year, observe to do what this book teaches, and you can't go wrong. In life, in service, in teaching. If we do that, we're going to have a great year. Then depart not from it. Said, meditate therein. Or in verse 8, he said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Might and they may observe to do according to all that is written in the book. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Never go to the right or the left from it, he said here in the writing. Don't turn away from it. Don't go to the right or left. Anybody know what dead reckoning is? You ever heard of dead reckoning? I'll give you a little history lesson. When Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic, you know what he used to get over there? Dead reckoning. That's why he had to fly low over Ireland and get directions on how to get to Paris. if you lose track on dead reckoning, in the end, it'll take you way off course. Here's the way dead reckoning works. This is the way I'm going, but if I move from that course a quarter of an inch, by the time I reach my destination, I may be hundreds of miles off course. When you're dead reckoning, you got to stay right on that course. There's also dead reckoning in the Marine, in the ships. When you're going into a harbor, you have a series of lights. And what you have to do is to line that ship up to where all of those lights look as one. If you vary to the right, you're just going to keep varying and miss your course and get wrecked on rocks and things of this nature. But in dead reckoning, you line those lights up all at once and you stay on that course. Aren't you glad God doesn't give us dead reckoning? He said, listen. He said, here's what you need to do. He said, you need to observe to do all that is written in the book. And you will not lose your course. You will not lose your direction. You get off course, you're going to lose your direction. And your life is going to shipwreck. Next thing he talks about here, we get into this new year. We've got to observe to do. We've got to turn to the book and not from it. And do not let the words of this book depart out of our mouth. We're going to be successful in the new year. Word of God should never depart in our mouth. And then he says, meditate upon it day and night. He says in verse 9, if I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I wonder why he used that word dismayed. You know, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that every word means something, not just thrown in there. That word dismayed means whatever comes your way, don't let it throw you off course. That's what the word dismayed means. It means to get off course, to lose our way. Whatever happens in life, whatever happens in this new year, whatever's waiting for you out there, don't let life throw you. You just stay faithful. Keep loving God. And there's a promise. In the things of God, we'll have success and we'll prosper. So, we're coming into a new year, folks. We have the course. We have the way. We have the promise. He's with us. Friends will leave us. Friends will forsake us. Folks we love will stop loving us. You teenagers, I don't know how many girlfriends, boyfriends you're going to have. God help you. It's things you're going to have to go through in life. But he said he'd never leave us. Amen. When I talk to widowers, that's what I tell them. You're not alone. Widows, you're not alone. We have a promise. In 2020, God said he'd never leave us. He's always with us. Whatever happens, he'll be with us. Because he not only never leave us, he'll never forsake us. I think we have a good lesson here in Joshua. I'm going into a new year. So Robin's going to come and play for us. Maybe this is a good time for us to reflect on ministry and reflect on what God is using us for now, and where I can go. Maybe God is dealing with you to be a preacher. Wouldn't that be great? You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. I don't want to be a preacher because look at you and Barry. You guys haven't got a thing. Oh, we've got a lot. We just haven't gotten it yet. Yeah, it's coming. We just haven't gotten it yet. Waiting for us. There is nothing better than serving. Nothing. And if God's dealing with you, don't fight it. Surrender to it. And you're going to have a great year in Christ. As we stand, as we sing, as God is dealing, won't you come forward?